DFBall.com and the DLF family of podcasts. That's a man they call Swag, Swagzilla Zero G. That's a feverish Bonero at Aardvark TV. He's our better half talking about Tommy B. And it's me, it's that old SFD. And this is the Super Flex Super Show. And here we go. We haven't changed the name just yet, Tommy, to what was it? Two bros with dumb check marks. So we get to roll out the old Super Show intro one more time before we change the name.
This one's a long time coming too, John. You and I were supposed to join Swags last year on the Super Flex Super Show when I was just getting started, when I was meeting you, really.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I had a scheduling conflict. And you, Swags, you had a nickname for me. You called me Two-Timing Tommy.
And you changed your handle for a couple minutes. But now, you know what, though? That's probably why you got the check mark, so you can change it back.
Yeah, totally. No, what we want to do is we want to open up the Discord eventually, John, where we can have better conversations than whatever you get on Twitter these days. But that's not why we're here today. We've got a couple of ringers on the show. Finero, how you doing today, man?
Great. I was pretty excited to get the invite because I knew I was going to get front row seats to that intro.
Yeah, it's the best in the
game. I want to know who's coming on the show.
Oh, I don't know.
The two ringers. Yeah, what are the two ringers you were mentioning?
Who are the ringers?
No, this is the time of year where we want to bring on folks who talk about rookies a little bit differently. There's a lot of saturated content out there. I've been listening to Rookie Fever, and I have been wildly impressed with not only the content that the two of you bring, but the guests that you've brought on as well. So any of the super friends who haven't caught up on Rookie Fever, please do so before the NFL draft because you're not going to be disappointed.
So would we be spoiling anything at this point if we were to just come out and ask these guys, what are rookies to you?
I was actually prepared for that. Because I thought if I had you guys on and you had a whole series on a certain something and you hadn't answered the question yet, that would be a juicy question. Yep. So I figured you might. And I told Swags that I was writing. You guys are going to laugh. I have a poem about it. It's not fully written, but it's enough for a teaser, let's call it. It's not done. But it does have a beginning, middle, and an end, and I just feel like it needs more work. But I would be more than happy to give your listeners a sneak listen.
Nice.
I mean, I want to hear it now.
John, this is not John's first podcast. He's excellent at having guests on and knowing the right questions to ask. So I just thought, if I'm John, I got to ask this question. So I figured I would give you a little sneak listen. So here it goes. I don't think I've ever recited a poem on a podcast, but first time for everything. Oh,
that makes this even better.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into the mood. Here we go. Rookies are hope. Not a promise of riches or ruin. Just that. Hope that we can turn lead into gold and avoid the gold attracted by fools. Just like hope, rookies are the currency of desire, the desire to win, to fight, and persevere. What are rookies to me? Rookies will always be the hope that can turn a fantasy roster into a dynasty.
Oh man, that's way too good for this show. That's like setting the bar way too high. That's seriously awesome. The one thing it's like, that's a lot of platitudes for teenagers. But I really like that, Mike. That's sweet. I like it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
What do you think, Swags?
Yeah, let's hear your poem, Swags.
I liked it. I think that now you have to on top of everything else you do, you have to get a poem ready weekly now.
Yes.
So yep. Way no, to go.
I am not a poet.
It's too late. I don't know. So this series has been really interesting. It's hard to explain. Like we wouldn't have a show called Rookie Fever if we truly didn't like and love rookies and know what that fever is all about. I think that one thing Panero and I have been doing it long enough to where our souls have been crushed a little bit by rookies and the fever and going back. And I think that that's kind of what started this series. But it's also helped me kind of remember some of the fun side and why we started doing it, why we started to talk about it. And Heath Cummings talked about it. John Lobb talked about it. Madman talked about it. I'm trying to think of everybody that talked about just like, shit, I love drafting rookies. It's fun. I want that extra draft. You get a draft every year. But something happened wrong in our market, I think. But something also happened with me along the way is I lost some of that fun in it. And I got too absorbed in watching what's going on and not enjoying how other people are enjoying it. And I think that that's too bad, like on my part. Like I'm kind of tainted from many things, I guess. But listening to people and how humble they are about it, it does make me appreciate the content and that people are having fun doing it. The thing is, though, and I think this is probably with, I hope most people that are doing this, I started doing this because I felt that I had an ability to try to help other people manage their teams, whether it was starting off with redraft, dynasty, whatever it may be. And I feel also with that fun and that joy, we're not doing that as a community anymore. We're just kind of like, we have to do this now because they're doing this. And I think sometimes all of us can get too complicated for some of the people that are starting to get into Dynasty. And I think also it's we're not helping them a ton if all we want to do is talk about rookies versus all the moves we could be making throughout the actual like free agency. Like we've been talking about rookies since before the Super Bowl. Like as soon as do we swear on this show sometimes? But as soon as people got their payouts for winning their leagues, they're like, all right, it's time to start talking about rookies. And to me, I'm like, no, this is crazy. And that's still like the truth is that's still kind of how I feel. The NFL draft is right around the corner. And I'm a firm believer that there are many fantasy analysts that are about to wipe all the shit off their table and have to reset it because they've just gone too far into all of this. I mean, some of our favorite people like Devi analysts are like, man, I have rookie fatigue. And it's kind of like, well, no shit.
You kind of did that yourself, homie.
Yeah. And those are the Devi guys that I would be sending people that can talk about it way better than Finero or I can, just because that's what they concentrate on so much. I don't know. I feel like I've talked too much and I still haven't answered the question or got all my feelings out, but I have been reminded and I do want to find that fun again and try to back off a little bit and let other people enjoy what they're doing, even though I still in my heart I'm just like, how are we helping people? What are we even doing? So, I don't know.
That's I think my first question to all of you guys, and I know that Tommy has a lot of stuff really thought out for this episode, so we've got a lot that we want to cover. So I'm going to try not to take up too much of our time on this, but this is kind of to all of you guys, just because it, you know, kind of in reaction to what Swag just said. what does it look like? And you know, Swags and Finero, you know, after doing this this series and having talked to so many different people with so many different perspectives, what does it look like for us to help people, to say something meaningful about rookies right now ahead of the NFL draft, and you know, go back a month or two? Because, you know, I'm with you, Swags. I talk about this all the time on this show, how I don't want to talk about rookies until we've got all the information, because we're missing most of it ahead of the draft. But you know that people want to hear about it. People want to talk about it ahead of time. So what does it look like for us to give meaningful, useful analysis with, you know, the limited information that we have and kind of the clarity that we have on the fact that we don't know what we don't know at this point?
I'll take a stab at that first. I think Swags is probably, and this is probably what you're asking for, is kind of more of a strategic answer to that. Like, how can we help strategy wise mm-hmm. help, you know, people in their leagues? I'm going to actually answer it for when I really thought about this series and if you guys asked about it and what you'd want to know. And but I really boiled it down to, after I heard, you know, John Hogue get borderline emotional about just thinking about rookies and how that just reminded him of how he started, you know, to fall in love with dynasty football, just how it kind of triggers people in a really good way, to be honest. I what I'm going to say is, just take it slow, the whole process. Enjoy it. Like, that's going to be my advice. Just really enjoy it. That's what I have been gifted through this series. Swags and I don't do a podcast for ourselves. We do a podcast for listeners, and Swags kills it from a strategy standpoint, and somebody will always get something out of every show. But for me, what I got out of this whole thing as a side effect is it forced me to slow down. I wasn't looking at stuff earlier than I wanted to front of it, because I did a lot of research before I had any guest on during these profiles to make sure that I understood the rookie inside and out, including watching some tape on Dynasty Nerds, which they consolidated for you. I just really tried really, 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 really hard through homework to keep up. And the reality was, I wasn't having as much fun with it, because I found out it was kind of like Christmas when you're real young and you open up every single gift and then you see what you have in every single gift, versus like when I got older, I would open up a gift and I would be patient and I would let a sibling open up theirs and I would be playing with the one gift that I opened, wondering what other gifts were, you know, in store for me, rather than ungifting or just opening them all up in the first 5 seconds. And I feel like that's what we do with rookies as an industry. Is we want to open all of the presents up, and Swags nailed it. They all get switched around. Like, you're half the time you're opening up the wrong ones. You're getting excited about the wrong ones. I've said since the
most
very beginning,
most of them are socks.
Yeah, and then the last one you saved is a pair of socks. But I've been saying since the beginning of this process, you wait. We're going to be talking about these running backs after the draft. You wait. I know we don't want to talk about them now. We're going to shoo them all. But running backs are like, you know, rookie gold. You wait till these guys hit landing spots and get round two, round three capital, and everybody's saying, well, Kamara was in the second round and blah, blah, blah was in the third round. And it's not the answer you were looking for, John, and it was probably longer, but that's kind of my answer to that, which is just enjoy this time and don't attack it so aggressively at the beginning, because there is a reset, a big reset that happens. We start this process 6 months before we play games. That's half a year. And we're trying to do all of it every single like week. It's a month-to-month process. It's not a week-to-week process. It doesn't need to be this intense. I think it gets less fun.
So we had John on for the first episode of this series. And
Set the tone.
And we completely targeted him because we knew how he felt about rookies a little bit. He felt similar to how we felt in that moment when we were starting the series. I can try to be as nice as I want to about this, but I still feel closer to how I felt when we had John on than last week when we had Scott Sildo on. I still feel closer to what the hell are we doing. I think that rookie fever is an unhealthy relationship. I think that the longer you get into this, like, the longer you hold on to J.K. Dobbins, the longer you hold on to Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, any of the Moores not named DJ, the longer you study them, the longer you wait for them to be something to where you're like in 3 and 4 years and people are like, sorry, I just can't quit this guy. And you're like, well, all right. Like, and I think that comes from those unhealthy relationships, you know, like that are built from trying to find the next rookie. I think that rookies are our new sleepers. And I think that, I don't think that's going away.
I got to be honest, I didn't think this was the direction that we were going to go right off the jump. I really appreciate it, though, because the way that I approach rookies is very much in the same vein. But what I'm pursuing is a more mature type of love. What I see rookies as is an ability to get the players that I know that I love, the players that have been in the NFL for a while. And I'm not going to get burned by the players that I'm seeking, that I'm using this rookie draft capital for. And so I'm not being hurt. I'm not having these toxic relationships with Quentin Johnston because I'm pursuing, I don't know, Michael Pittman, Tyreek Hill, Josh Allen. I'm seeking out these relationships that work really well for me. It's just a few years down the road, right? These players have had a chance to show that they're really good partners for me, that they're the ones that are worth pursuing. And for some reason, this time of year, so many folks are casting off these good relationships in search of a 20-something in a red Camaro. And yeah, that's sexy, that's fun, that's exciting. And Twitter loves to see it come May when you've got the 101 through the 106. But you know what? I really like trading for Justin Jefferson right now. He is my muse right now. And I'm doing whatever I can to pursue that. And it's a very wholesome feeling to have him on my rosters.
Do you have any examples of trades that you have obtained Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, man. So here's the thing. I adopt just an absolute shitload of orphans and they're all out of construction. They're in really weird places. I did just a mass of trades today. And I got Justin Jefferson. I got Ja'Marr Chase and I got the 101, which I will be trading probably soon. I had something like 5 or 6 101s. They all turned into Jalen Hurts. They all turned into Justin Herbert. One turned into Josh Allen. One turned into Patrick Mahomes. It's not difficult right now to find the capital you need to get into these players. And when you have an orphan, a lot of times it's just spending the capital that was accrued, right? So moving into Justin Jefferson. In this particular case, I traded Drake London and Garrett Wilson, I believe, to get into Justin Jefferson. I love Garrett Wilson. I think he's probably a good football player. 170 targets dictates he probably is a very good football player. The hype is kind of getting out of control with Drake London. John and I actually have
he's probably one of the most valuable wide receiver twos in fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly, to Darnell Mooney. yeah, we have a bet about who is going to be the most steamed up wide receiver, and I got lucky and chose Drake London, and everything has gone his way. This is the perfect time for me to cash out to get into Justin Jefferson, in my opinion. Not a rookie example, but the most recent one for me. But I want to turn to you, John. How would you answer that question?
Who did I pick, by the way? I don't even remember. I know we made a bet. I don't remember who I backed.
I think you have Jaden Reed, which you're starting from a lower place, right? So you've got a really good opportunity to accrue value still. It's just my horse is right out in front right now.
Yeah, I still feel good about that one. Yeah, I mean, I think that just simply put, you know, kind of like Fenero was saying, I think that this time of year should be more about overall strategy and less about names, less about player profiles. You know, and it's fun to talk about that stuff. We've got some great resources out there, right? You know, writing up those profiles for us and stuff. And it's fun to read those, and it's fun to kind of get an idea of what these players are going to look like. But really, you know, so I just wrote an article for DynastyLeagueFootball.com. I don't know when it comes out. I just submitted it last night. So, but you know, kind of forecasting the incoming rookie class of quarterbacks, and the guys that I think would probably go in the first round of the NFL draft. And, you know, in order to write that, it was kind of nice to have an idea of where the strengths and weaknesses of each of those individual players. But what's interesting is I find out I've written this the last 2 years. And what I keep finding out is, like, once I get done talking about the player profiles and I get into where are they likely to be drafted in the NFL draft, and then even more than that, when we get into what's their Superflex Dynasty outlook, it really kind of has not a whole lot to do with the profile. You know, we kind of start finding out that, you know, there's some of these guys like JJ McCarthy is he's getting a ton of hype. There's some definite attributes. There's some flaws as well. But you know, there's a lot of talk, and NFL teams are going to view him as a top four pick, most likely. I actually projected that he would probably go six to the Giants, but that's still earlier than he belongs. But ultimately, you know, even if that happens, even if someone trades up to three to take JJ McCarthy ahead of Drake May, I still view JJ McCarthy as like a mid first round pick in Superflex at best. And so it's like all of that talk, everything that went into pumping up JJ McCarthy, and then, you know, kind of regardless of his draft capital, kind of regardless of his landing spot, like none of that matters. Ultimately, when we start talking about the strategy of it, which is, I mean, he's just not a very safe pick. You've got a lot, you've got safer quarterbacks, you've got more upside quarterbacks, you've got good wide receivers to consider, you've got a top prospect, a tight end to consider, you're going to have a running back that sneaks in there. I don't know who that's going to be, but somebody's going to make it in there. And so, you know, all of the talk about JJ McCarthy, you know, independently, kind of just isolated, just talking about him and what he can do, just kind of it doesn't change the fact that ultimately he ends up being kind of a mid first round pick. And to me, that's kind of what we should be talking about every step of the way, is where are these guys, you know, kind of where do they belong? What tiers do they belong in? To me, that's the best way to rank players, by the way, is with tiers. Like, let's be talking about tiers. Let's be talking about, you know, the veteran counterpart to these players that we could potentially get for those picks. Like, that's the type of thing that I think we should be talking about. That's the stuff that actually ends up being useful. How entertaining is it? I don't know. I think people just want to hear more. They just want to hear us give Marvin Harrison more flowers, you know? But like, ultimately,
that's the problem. I don't know if they do want to hear you say that.
Really?
I think we think they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Twitter wants to see that. I think Twitter like has manifested this culture where we feel like, oh, Superflex Super Show just did a rookie mock. How did they do a mock before we did? Now we have to do a mock draft. And then Dynasty Trades HQ now has to do a mock draft. Where it's like, well, they did a mock draft. Like, we've got to do a mock draft. And now everybody's doing mock drafts. I can tell you with a lot of confidence, if you do a mock draft, I'm not listening to it.
True.
I'm just like, oh, I don't want to. How does that help I mean, I just don't care about them. That's always how I've been. That it's nothing new. It's just boring as hell. I don't care to hear a bunch of dudes come on a show and struggle through a mock draft together. That's me.
Yeah.
But and then I went to the mocks. So maybe people do want to hear certain things and like hear us talk some of those players up. I think so. Now, if you've got McCarthy at a mid pick, like let's say 105 to 107, that's where you're going to take him. I think that a common misconception that happens is people are like, that's a pretty good pick, like first round, but they forget about all those core vets that are already running better. Like Tommy was saying, like they're already in it. They're in the race, and all of those players are still ranked above most first round picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so too. And I like, you know, just to answer the kind of the question, to me, that's the important, that's the meaningful stuff that we probably should be talking about is what are the picks worth? You know, forget the players. Let's focus on the picks. I guess that's kind of the bottom line it a little bit, because the players ultimately, you know, they don't particularly matter. But also there's, I mean, for anyone who's willing to do it, anyone who's willing to sit out the rookie fever, not the podcast, but like the actual condition of rookie fever, anyone who's willing to sit that out has an opportunity to really improve their roster by trading away those picks.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we should really kind of be talking about what does that look like and what can you be doing with those picks? And like, this is a conversation I've been having quite a bit in DMs with several different people, is when to move those picks, you know, because you kind of pick your spots a little bit as well. Like to me, 101, like you, because people will say, oh yeah, you know, it's going to keep increasing in value. And then like they kind of trail off. They don't finish the thought. Like, when does it stop increasing value? No one really talks about that part of it. Is it when the pick's on the clock? Is it right after the NFL draft? Is it right before the NFL draft? Like what is the answer to that? And to me, I think it varies depending on the pick. We've known that 101's going to be Caleb Williams for, 3 years now?
Yeah.
So, you know, 101 was really kind of at max value as soon as it became 101. And, you know, there's nowhere for him to go but down at this point.
Right.
So, like, you should have traded him. But 102, on the other hand, that one is pretty ambiguous right now. People are pretty convinced it's Marvin Harrison Jr., but and they're kind of devaluing their own pick by doing that, because the reality is there's a good chance that that actually lines up as a quarterback or a wide receiver. You can pick which one you want. You can take whatever your team needs, whatever. And that versatility gives the pick a lot more value. So, you know, we should really be thinking about, you know, what does it look like for that one to hit its peak value? And when does that happen? When does that occur? You know? So there's so much nuance to that. There's so much that goes into that, that I feel like that could be an entire ongoing conversation in and of itself, you know, for the few months where,
yeah. Even that 101 that you want to move today, I think that one thing that maybe people should look at is your league activity. If you have a league that's like uber active and you have like 80% of your league is pretty active, and I 1000% agree with you, John, that you should be trading that pick today if you can. It's probably not going to really gain any value. I don't know how much something can gain value when everybody's telling you it's going to gain value. That, to me, you just peaked it a little bit. But now if you have a league where you feel like you have 2 to 4 people that are kind of active, sending trades, they're going to be out coming hard in a few weeks. Once your rookie drafts start, then you're you have more people, your market changes because you do have more people that are active maybe now after that 101. And if you trade the 101 today to one of your active three or four teams, you might be disappointed when you see what they get when your league is fully active again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense or not. The rest of the picks, man, like, I'm happy to trade all of my firsts and all of my seconds right now. Like, I feel like people want them enough and they're into it enough, and there is a chance that the draft happens and they're like, wow, this isn't what I thought. And people try to get out and then they're like, it's going to happen, guys. Like, every year they're like, you know, trade all your 2024s for 2025s. And people are already like tanking into 2025. But, and not to be a broken record, Fenero, you hear this probably every week from me, but I'm saving the third and fourth round picks for when you're on the clock and you want to get your guy. Like, get my guy. I want to get my guy. And that's when I'm trading my third and fourth round picks, just for some of your vets. Christian Kirk, I'm going to, you know what I mean? Those guys that you know are going to produce, but they've never really had a value to them. That's when I'll be trading my third and fourth round picks, personally. We'll see how it works out.
John, I think you're right. There is a lot of nuance to that. To that whole idea, and you made me think of one. It's you know, you said when is the highest value, and my brain went to, like, it is on the clock, that's probably its highest value, but I think it's also the hardest to get at that time, right? Mm-hmm. you have to have two sides for a trade. So what Swags just said kind of mirrored that thought you put in my head, which was Swags, like, I'll trade them now because I can trade them now. I feel like later or further in, the other side doesn't want to give them up as much, or the other, you know what I mean? Or the other, it's a two way game. You can't, the value doesn't just, isn't determined by the one side. So if the highest value is when the player is on the clock, that might also be the worst time for me to try to get that player.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So you have to almost play that game in between, where it's like, well, I wonder how far this guy is into his research, or I wonder, you know what I mean? Like, that's the time. And maybe since we're all talking about, you know, how early people are starting and rookie fatigue and stuff like that, as you play the game where you're just out there having fun, I'm still not tired with these rookies, and you're exhausted. Maybe your value is a little lower. Maybe you're down on Malik Nabers because you just heard that, you know, he had a gun report early in his college history, and he might be a hothead. And, you know, like, we'll take any prospect and smash him by now. Yeah. You know, the longer we go, the more they get smashed. So it's the fun part of Dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think, like, there's also kind of like, this is why I think tiers are so important, because you know, you can kind of be targeting a spot ahead of time, ahead of the NFL draft, and actually get a little bit more value out of a move back, or, you know, move up at a little bit of a discount. If you can really kind of pick your spot and say, you know, this is the tier that I want to be a part of, and it really kind of mitigates that problem that you're talking about of, all right, I'm on the clock. Who's actually willing to trade up for this pick? Who's targeting this specific player? And you're kind of at the mercy of what they're willing to pay to do it. So,
right.
Yeah, there's just so much strategy to it that really just kind of needs to be addressed, and ends up being so much more important than rookie profiles, I think. But so we've asked these guys essentially, Tommy, we've kind of asked them what they still think about rookies after doing this series. Maybe we should talk a little bit about what's changed. What are some things that you've started to change your mind on, or take a different approach to, etc.?
Yeah, so many different ways to take this conversation. But I want to ask you, Swags, with so much more content driven towards rookies this time of year, probably mostly due to the fact that Devi has really grown their C2C formats now, and every bozo on a mic, myself included, is expected to know a decent amount about rookies by this time in the calendar. Are we any better as a community, as rookie analysts, as dynasty analysts? If we are better, how have you seen growth in this space? Or if we're not, you know, tell me more about that side of the story as well.
Oh, that's a loaded question. How have we seen growth in this space? So I don't know if we have.
We've seen quantitative growth.
Mm-hmm. I think I think there's more people out there, and that's kind of what's actually hurt this place, the space a little bit. I think we've regressed. So if being the key word, if it's true that rookies are the new sleepers, could you imagine talking about nothing but sleepers 10 years ago? Like, let's just talk about sleepers again.
Good point.
And that's kind of what we're doing. And after a while, they're not even sleepers anymore. I mean, you have people this year, I've never seen this before, but you have people this year, they're like, here's my wide receiver rankings. And they're all rookies. Here's my running back rankings. And they're all running backs. They're not even putting the word rookies in there anymore because it's so relevant that they don't have to. And I'm kind of like, wait, those aren't running back rankings. Like, and I'm the smartass that's like, actually, I'm going to have Najee Harris right here. Like, and how'd you forget about Ja'Marr Chase? And because those, to me, it's gotten that bad that people don't even have to put the word rookie in there anymore, because that's all that we're focusing on the Twitter space anyway. I know that it's not always the same out here in the real world, but I think that we've missed a lot. I think that if I was getting into Dynasty today and this is all the talk that I had to try to get me going in a league, I would be scared shitless. I would just be like, wow, so all we do is we get rookies? You know, can you even imagine with the rookie hit rates actually being as low as they are? I think that we steer people the wrong direction. I do think that there's a lot of people out there. Brandon Lejeune, his film work, I think it's exceptional. I'm going to point people in his direction all day long. John Lobb and his breakdowns. Brandon and Jason DiRienzo, like those guys, I think that they're doing it right. But that's what they've always focused on, too. But I think that when every show starts to all of a sudden study rookies, I think we've actually regressed. I don't think we're helping out anymore. So if you want to have a podcast and you just want to have fun and talk about rookies, I think good for you, man. This is a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun doing this. I have a lot of fun with meeting Finero every week. No matter what we talk about, it's fun. But I think you have to take a step back and really see what you're trying to do. Like, are you just trying to compete with the rookie market and be a part of that? Are you trying to help people? It's just clicks for clicks, like bunch of people banding together to get clicks. Like, and that's my answer to that question. I know that's not what you're looking for, but I don't think that we've gotten better as a community. I think we have room to grow, unfortunately.
What do you think, Finero?
I want to kind of, Swags is spitting
he's
facts.
He's way nicer than me.
He's spitting facts. Like, I'm not going to take it that far. But the thing that I liked about what you said, Swags, was as far as taking it too far and all, imagine, I don't know, how many TV channels do you think we all have? I mean, is it over 100? I mean, is it 200 with streaming? You know what I mean? Like, all the options we have, right? On every one of those channels is a unique show. And we can all come back and raise our hands and say, I can't find anything to watch. Imagine if all those 200 channels were all saying the same thing. How much worse would that space be? We used to be a lot of separate channels. That was the cool thing that happened with fantasy football, is like it was redraft, then it was dynasty and Devy and IDP and super flexible. You know, like you could turn on any channel you wanted, and inside that channel were different series and different content and different. Why all of a sudden as a community we decide for 3 months to all say the same thing at the same time? It's just too long of a period of time, and it's an awesome period of time. It's a period of time of rest. I truly believe that when championships are over, I love watching football again. Just football.
Mm-hmm.
No fantasy, just football. I love that time. That's when the real profile, rookie profiles, that's when you're doing all your homework. That's when you got to start pumping them out. That's when you just got to, like, I love just watching football again. And then after that, I love, like, being away from my teams and revisiting them and going, oh, shit, man, I forgot I had someone, Zamir White, on this team. This team has Zamir White, too? That's cool. Like, I love revisiting my teams and then looking and then saying, what can I do? Who can I look for in trades now when people are snoring a little bit? Who could I in draft trade with because they really need something I have and I want to, you know what I mean? Like, I want to plan ahead and I want to strategize and I want to use that time. Why don't we do that as a community? Why aren't we talking about those things? It's like, why are we all talking about one thing? It just doesn't seem, it's too, yeah. if it was 2 to 3 weeks, I would get it. 2 to 3 months just doesn't make any sense. It's too long to talk about one thing.
Yeah.
The thing I think we try to do.
You should almost have like a certificate to be able to do it, like a license. Like like every town only gives out so many liquor licenses because you only need so many people to be able to sell liquor. I think that it should almost be, and I know that that's far-fetched, it's never going to happen, but I think that there should just be something. All these sites just want your money to be able to start a podcast. They don't care what you talk about, but there should be something regulating the direction that you're going to go. And I just think, I mean, you hardly even see like anything that's actionable anymore, except like talking about a player is not actionable content to me. It's just talking about a player. There's no like John was saying with the tiers, like how do you move these picks? At what point do you get out of certain players? Like there's no sells anymore. There's no buys. There's no like examples of how to buy players, how to sell these players, what to do. There's none of that anymore. It's just Caleb Williams. I mean, we're talking about this dude's nails more than we're talking about actionable content.
Yeah, totally. If we were to give out liquor licenses to the fantasy and dynasty community, a lot of the folks that I would hand them out would be the guests that you guys have had on this non-point scoring season. And I mean that genuinely. You've had an all-star cast of folks come on. So I want to hear from you, Finero. What is, I'm sure there's plenty, but what is one takeaway from one of your guests that really resonated with you? When you're recording, you're just like, man, that was a really good point. That's something that I'm either going to incorporate into my philosophy or something actionable that I'm going to try to implement.
Yeah, so there's a few. That, I mean, like you said, we had a lot of good guests. I loved Heath Cummings when he called rookies a mystery box, and how we as analysts are supposed to tell everybody what's inside a mystery box. That's like one of my favorite ways of looking at rookies. Like when he said that, you know, there could be joy in there or there could be suffering, to use his words. And Swags has opened up a lot of the shows with that exact comment. And it does make me change, like, kind of, if not change, but reinforce this year and what we're doing with this just slowing down. But I think the thing that hit me the most, which is something that I want to bring up because I feel like we're talking so negatively about rookie fever that I feel like I got to bring something back. Last episode with Scott Sildo, DAP Network, he mentioned that he really missed our profiles. And I don't think he mentioned it on the show. I think he mentioned it right after we had turned the mics off. And it was very genuine because he just wanted to make a point that, you know, you guys had been doing it for 3 years. It was something I looked forward to and it was gone. And that hit me. And I know it hit Swags too. It was funny because we were very conflicted about letting that go. And I still think we made the right decision. I think every day that we do another episode with another great guest, I that is reinforced. But it was something that he said if you guys did it this year, despite the influx of all the profiles, it still would be unique. It still would be different. That part surprised me. Like that scene, I think there's amazing profiles being done. You know, there's videos on YouTube now where you can actually see the plays. Like, I can't imagine how our profiles at this point would seem original or unique, which is part of like what went into the decision. But that was Scott hit me. Like he made it tempting. I'll say maybe, Scott, maybe. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to commit to anything, but out of all the people, I mean, John, our first guest, just setting the foundation, you know, telling us, you know, kind of what this series was all going to be about. And then, like I said, Heath Cummings, John Lobb, getting like literally our first question, getting nostalgic. Even Russ, yeah, admitting to, which every guest did, by the way, that was actually probably my favorite thing. Every guest was just like admitting all of their faults, right? Like, I did this wrong, and Rookie Fever got me this time and got me this time. Almost like they were proud of it, right? Like, as analysts, we're almost supposed to be like, well, we never do anything wrong, and we do everything right in all of our hits. And I loved that when Russ brought that up. So a lot of the things I'm bringing up, again, aren't strategy-based. They didn't change any way I'm going to deal with rookies. But they changed my mindset and reinforced a mindset that I've kind of gone into this season with. And, oh, my God, I've never been, like, in years this excited for the draft. Like, I'm really excited to see where these players go. And then I'm going to dig in.
Did I admit to being wrong about something? I don't remember this, but
you must.
This doesn't sound like me.
I feel like you had some Josh Rosen love.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Almost Josh everybody Rosen admitted to CEH except for Swags, of course.
Yeah, he gets a victory lap that one forever. Like, his legs forever. Are going to fall off. Yeah.
But that's interesting, though, because you say it like the true honesty. I don't have that pinned anymore, but let's be honest about that. It got me, because if it didn't get me, I would have never had CEH to trade away for Swift.
That's the best part of the story.
Yeah.
It's like full circle, right?
So,
like,
I mean, really, it did get me. I had
how
instant regrets, like, before instant. The NFL draft even, like, well, the NFL draft was over, but before we even got into our seasons, before they even hit preseason, I did have instant regrets, but I still pushed the button and drafted CEH.
Yeah.
So it got me too.
You fell for the spell, but at the last moment you broke out of the spell good overcame evil. It's like a Disney movie.
I am a firm believer that the hardest part, maybe not the hardest part, but it's better to be quick to get out of somebody than it is to find the next guy. It's better to realize that something's wrong, get out before people don't want to buy him. And if you have feelings like that, I think that it's better to be the first one to get out of something than the first one to find something. And that's kind of how I build. We've mentioned it a couple times, though, but you guys do have to go back and listen to that John Lobb show. Anybody that's ever listened to John Lobb and him just break down player after player after player, super smart guy, but we pulled out a John Lobb I've never heard, and it ended up being beautiful.
I love John Lobb. Like the energy too. It's just the entire time he's just like yelling at you like the most profound analysis. Just like, but so how do you do that though? Like in the case of CEH, like obviously you caught on to something that most people didn't see. But like what was that thing? And just kind of, you know, more broadly, like if that's the type of thing that we can use, like if that's the type of thing that we could actually teach and say, you know, you've got to overcome the profile, you've got to overcome all the chatter about how good this player could and should be. And you've got to look at like the reality of the situation, and it's freaking hard, like to a point where you actually drafted CEH. So, you know, and if you like you had this feeling about it, you had this feeling is that DeAndre Swift was going to be much more valuable, much more productive, whatever it is. But you still had a hard time, you know, staying true to that and actually going through with making that pick. You did ultimately correct it. But like if you had that type of trouble, what, you know, new dynasty player doing their first rookie draft, what chance do they have? And how do we give them that chance? How do we give them that safety net?
So, and I think landing spots are important. But to answer that question, I think sometimes we have to think about what we know before something happens. And what we knew before that happened, that I think CEH was being ranked, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the year Kerryon Johnson was drafted as well. Or was that the year before?
Kerryon was before that, but...
The year before?
Yeah.
So it was Swift. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Akers, Taylor. Dobbins, Swift, Jonathan Taylor.
Taylor, yep.
And CEH was probably... Vaughn.
I think CEH was behind Keyshawn all those Vaughn. Guys.
A.J. Dillon.
I'm going to use Keyshawn Vaughn. Yeah. I'm back on track. So... But he was even being drafted or talked about ranked below Keyshawn Vaughn before the NFL draft. And I think that that's one of those things that you have to go back and look at it and kind of wonder why it was like that. And then you're hearing like, oh, we let Mahomes make the pick. Like, how stupid is that as an organization anyway, to let your quarterback make the pick for you? But sometimes I think it's just kind of regressing to the knowledge that you have and the things you believed before something happened. It's probably more on point than what you're doing in a reactionary way. You're probably smarter sometimes before you have all that knowledge. But I think it's just also like understanding the value that something has and just being able to be yourself, as cheesy as that sounds, and not have to feel like you have to. Even when I made that pick, it was a value play. But I think and I've said this before too, but I think that it's really one of those things where you have to realize that you create value, and you don't want to let value create you, especially if this is what you're talking about. Like everything we do in life, let alone fantasy, but everything we do affects something. Like you're changing something, even if you don't feel it. Every trade we make, every time any of that stuff goes into any algorithm in a calculator, like you're part of ADP. You can affect that value or you can adhere to it. I think with us attempting to be fantasy analysts and doing what we do, if you are only here to adhere to value, you might as well just turn the mic off.
Freaking love that. Like, so last year when we wanted to get both you and Tommy on the show at the same time, it was because of you guys' unique perspective on value and what that looks like. So, yeah, seeing Tommy emphatically nodding his head, I'm pretty sure we just kind of touched on a common nerve there, I think.
Yeah, there's a twinkle in my eye right now. And Swags, we need to get you back at some point this non-point scoring season, because that's a conversation that it's not a this year conversation. It's an every year conversation. And the point in the calendar in which we have it could dramatically change what it is that we're talking about. And so I would love to do that with you another time. But I want to ask you something. I want you to pull out your crystal ball a little bit for me, Swags. We are recording this episode essentially a week before the rookie NFL draft. What is going to be different a week from now? It feels almost like when you're graduating from school or you're starting a new job, like you have some things that you're anticipating, some anticipated knowns, but there's all these other hidden things out on the horizon that you're not entirely sure about. I think that applies to where we're at on the calendar right now, you know, on the eve of this rookie draft. What are you thinking might be different a week from now in terms of the Dynasty marketplace?
Well, Finero kind of alluded to it a little bit already, but I think that we're going to see a running back with some amazing landing spots, and we're going to get a couple of those right and a couple of those wrongs. But I think that we will have some running backs move up. And I mean, there's still a couple teams that I could see needing a running back, even with like the Chargers draft. I know John's all about Spiller, but even with the Chargers signing Dobbins today to a one-year contract, I still feel like they have a need to fill at running back. I mean, and I mentioned this to you, John, I don't know if it was in public or in a DM, but what if Blake Corum goes there and he's with his college coach or something like that? But I think that we are going to have a running back or two with a desirable landing spot that I think could actually work out for us. And I think that we're going to have some quarterbacks that people are expected to be drafted in the first 20 to 32 picks that don't even get drafted in the first round. And that'll hurt their value as well. I mean, Adam Schefter the other day said that there's going to be 6 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. I think that's ludicrous. I think that he's being paid way too much to boost up the NFL and to get more views, because the truth is, like, if the more quarterbacks that are going to get drafted in any draft in the NFL, the more people want to watch it. And that's, I think that we have to be very careful about the current state of media, and that they know how to get us there. They want us there. They're competitive as well, and they want the clicks. They get money. Like, these are rich corporate companies that have learned how to get people to tune in, and it doesn't really do us any favors. Did I answer that question, Tommy? I don't know.
I feel like it's just another tangent. In a way, for sure. Mike, what do you want to add though? Like, what do you think is going to be different a week from now?
Well, I think a week from now, we're going to definitely get rookie fever turned all the way up. That's the big difference. This is that rookie dip or rookie fatigue area that we're all experiencing together. I have visited a different village. I'm not in the same village, but for most of the community, they're just sick of it. It's going to be, you know, everything we've kind of alluded to, a reshuffling of the deck. There's going to be every single year, there are anywhere between 3 and 6 players that just weren't even on most people's first and second rounds that just jump in there. So you got that plus the running backs that Swags was alluding to, that I alluded to earlier in the show. If you add that all together, I think we're just going to see, a pretty big shuffle in people's rankings like we do every year. I'm not predicting something that we don't already know. I'm just saying it before it happens, because it's going to happen very soon. And I know we've said it several times on the show, so it doesn't add a lot for that. I apologize, but that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a pretty big shuffle, and you're going to know that the same 5 guys are going to be picking the same 5 picks like they do every single year. There's 5 or 6 guys in the top 5 or 6 picks. It depends on, you know, the quarterbacks, right? So if you're in Superflex, you add to that. If you're not in Superflex, it's the 5 or 6. And then Swags, when does everyone get bored of the rookie drafts? Oh, maybe this is a bad year to ask you, because you're like quarter, third and fourth, but it's middle of the second. Big drop off, middle of the second. Every year. Doesn't matter what draft class it is. Middle of the second, nobody left. And so just want to remind people, that's all going to happen in 2 weeks. Promise.
Yeah, I agree. And with that said, I think a good strategy now, and John kind of mentioned this too, is using some of those rookie picks to move up. Like if you've got a mid, late third, and same thing with a second, put those two together and like try to get to like 201. If you've got a 206 and a 303, put those together and start trying to move up now before people realize that there's just a bunch of BS like in the mid second round and later. Like do that now before they start to see that ADP in their leagues. Like now's the last time you can really kind of,
I agree,
pull out that voodoo chicken voodoo.
Yeah, think about that Hendon Hooker year where all those quarterbacks that were supposed to go in the fourth round, it was only Kenny Pickett. Like just look at that 1 year alone. There was, think about all the players that were being pushed down to the 201 because of quarterbacks that never even got drafted in the first round. You know what I mean? So like that you want to talk about a massive value change. And to Swags's point, like that was kind of media provoked. We were being force fed that very, very, very bad quarterback draft class had like top five talent in it. Top five talent. Detroit what was Detroit picking that year? Two overall or something?
Like, yeah, Malik Willis, number two. Honolulu Blue. He looks pretty good in it.
That's one example of 1 year. Big change is coming.
So Swags, so in the past, and you and I have like we agreed on this part of it. And I'm not saying that you left me on an island. Like, I think that I'm on board with this too. I just think we probably have kind of different reasons for it. You used to have zero use for third and fourth round picks. Like, you're like, man, just get rid of those. Those are pennies, you know? Those are basically worthless, just kind of taking up space. But it sounds like now, like, you'll hang back and make some of those picks. Is it just kind of is it this rookie class? Is it like a reaction to something?
I'm not making the picks. I'm still on the island with you. I'm just saving my food until our rookie drafts. And then I'm going to feed people what they want. I'm going to starve them out a little bit. And it's just because of, I think that I'm still totally with you. I might have taken the kayak back, but I left you the canoe. Just in case. But I'm with you on the island. I'm not planning on making those picks. That's just when I'm planning on getting out, because I feel like Finero, you're my example, but Finero's got a guy and he's on the I'm on the clock at 3:03 and all of a sudden Finero DMs me and he's like, "Man, I got a guy I want to take right here." And that's when I'm going to make the trade with Finero so he can go get his guy. If a trade happens right now, or if somebody sends me something that I like for those picks, I'm all about getting rid of them. Or like I said, moving up, I don't really plan on using them. I just feel like the way that rookie fever and that landscape has changed should make us change how we utilize that a little bit. And I think the best way for me to utilize those picks is to trade them while I'm on the clock to somebody that has a guy. Everybody's got a guy. And I've noticed that the last few years in our rookie drafts, and there are times when I'm like, man, I wish I would have traded him my 303 that I got rid of 2 months ago, because he got way more for it. And now Traquan Smith is worthless, and that's all I got for my third. And you know what I mean? So I think that we know more after the NFL draft. We know more about who's going to be the vets that might lose their positions. We know more. We just have a little bit more information. So I feel like the time for me to try to trade those is when Finero has a guy.
I always have a guy.
So I'm still with you. I'm still with you on the island.
Yeah.
Okay. Finero, how do we avoid the trap that Swags is setting for us, though? Like, how do we recognize the spikes underneath the brush there? When do we get our guy if not in the rookie draft? Do you wait a little bit? Do you let this play out into the dog days of summer and it's like, okay, this is the last guy on your bench, now I pounce? How do you approach that?
That's a great question. Yeah, I think as far as the, because I you know, Swags used me as an example, and it was a good one, because I do tend to buy back into rookie drafts. So I am that guy. That being said, a lot of that came from doing a lot of homework, and to Swag's point, being in an unhealthy relationship with a player in the third or fourth round that I think people are missing out on because I did more study, or I just have a better feeling for. So I my advice would be to certainly avoid that. But at the same time, don't cram either. Right. Like we keep talking about how we're doing stuff too early, blah, 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 blah. Your rookie drafts are going to span anywhere from the actual NFL draft all the way through May, June. Some people still have them in July, but there's that more information part that Swags hit on. And the reality is NFL scouts are guessing. Everyone's guessing. It's you just want to guess less. At what stage can I guess less? Right? Like and it certainly isn't before the draft. That's when you can do some homework. That's when you can kind of do a little bit of your own research. But I think John brought it up. He says, how do you stick to your guns though? You know, and that kind of goes hand in hand with what you just said. And I think I like to write a lot of stuff down, like my own feelings. I like to write my own feelings on paper so that I can almost go back to a previous self and say, this is how I felt before this event happened that changed everyone's opinion. You know, if you show up at an event and it's business casual and everyone shows up and they look kind of nice, but you're the only one in shorts, there's like two different ways to handle that, right? Like you could handle it and say, well, I was the smart one. It's hot out, you know, or you'd be like, I don't fit in. I need to fit in. I need to make sense in this group. I don't make sense. I'm the wrong one. And I think that's another mentality to take in. Is make notes for yourself so you remember how you truly feel without, you know, being tainted by groupthink. And then you can stand a little bit more reliably when you read your own words and it says, I'm really nervous about this, and I really, you know what I mean? Like we play this game because it's fun, but we also play because we want to be right. And that's the thing that I fight with all the time. I want to be right all the time, and I'm not even close. We all strive to be over 50% right. Gamblers who are 52 or 53% winners are really good at gambling, and I think we just don't admit that. We think that in order to be good at this, we have to be like 80, 90% right. If we admit that, reflect on it, and just guess less, we might have a better shot of getting more wins than losses.
I think something else that also comes into play for me is in the leagues that I do have like those third round picks or fourth round picks still that I didn't trade away, like in when you're being competitive in the season. I think that sometimes because of how I actually feel, I'm like, there's no way Tommy's gonna take my third for that guy. That's, you know what I mean? That's who I want. So then I'm like, I'm not even going to send it. Whereas, and then you'll see somebody else like a week later and they're like, holy cow, they just got him for that. Like, I wish I would have tried. So I think a lot of times, like, I wear that on my sleeves and I just imagine that I can't get some of those players for a third or fourth pick because back to John's Island, like, I feel like they're kind of worthless. So in my head, that's how I truly sort of feel about them. So I feel like, what am I really going to get for a third round pick right now? And the answer is probably more than I think, really, just with rookie fever. But I just haven't tried a lot. So maybe I should be trying a little bit more.
It's good advice, too.
Yeah, you'll get more than you should, too, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you guys have been talking just kind of higher level about the concept of rookies for the last couple months, basically. Not really getting into player profiles, not really getting into, you know, individual player values, just kind of talking just again, just kind of, you know, 10,000 foot view of what are rookies, what are rookie picks, things like that. And, you know, the kind of the strategy involved. Do you have any interest in talking about individual names now that you guys are, now that we're a week away from the draft?
In 2 weeks, I will.
Yeah.
When they're wearing helmets and uniforms and I know who they're playing for and what scheme they're playing in, and it's going to be like a flood in 2 weeks. Are there names that I'm looking at specifically now? It's the RBs. I'm looking at the RBs right now. That's where I started because that's always been my thing. I think that's something that Swags and I share. And rookie RBs that hit are like some of the most valuable things that you will ever find in Dynasty. I mean, obviously outside the quarterback, but so I'm looking at them because I think if I look at that now, I'll have an opinion on a running back before he goes to a team or gets drafted a little later, a little earlier. And right now I'm also just doing all my, I just comb through looking for rookie mocks from everybody under the sun and just looking for like some outliers. Like, why is that person, you know, think this, that this player can actually go in the second round of the NFL draft? And I do a little digging. That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
Back in February, though, and I'm doing it now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I'm so excited to watch the draft, because I think where these running backs go, and not just the really juicy landing spots, but like running backs now, you get to see a return on your investment sooner 9 out of 10 times than wide receivers. And then B, like you have the option with in this particular class, most likely a lot of these guys are going to be drafted in your rookie draft in that second round that we were saying is like, ooh, I don't even want to have anything past 205. Now all of a sudden, like my favorite positional asset is going to be like scattered throughout there. I personally, I think there's going to be probably 3 or 4 running backs that sneak up into the late first, early second. I don't think anybody's really thinking that, but I just can't imagine that's not going to happen. We all love those running backs. That's the one thing I think I really dislike about conversations this early is they tend to be like, I guess what we should all do, and why shouldn't we be talking about what we should all do? But I like admitting the stuff that we do still. Like, we do still draft these running backs really early. We do still overdraft quarterbacks that we aren't high on because they were drafted early in the NFL draft. I think it's okay to admit that we still want to do these things. They're sinful, but sinful things are fun. You know, sinful things excite us. And I think the more you talk about it, the more you admit it, maybe the less likely you are to make a mistake.
Well, I think that's such a good point. And that's I think that it's also important to kind of acknowledge that stuff because there's strategy involved with that, you know. And so, like, you know, for instance, my question to you, knowing that you're looking at the rookie running backs in particular, you've kind of identified the range that they're likely to go in. Here's kind of best case scenario is they sneak into the end of the first round, a few of them. You know, a lot of them are going to be available in the second. So, like, you've kind of taken the time to acknowledge that that's where you want to be. And then from there, have you been kind of making trades to get into position to clean up on those running backs?
Yeah, so I'm right now what I'm doing, because I started later. So this could, maybe I started too late. Maybe I embraced the lateness too much. But what I'm doing right now is I've done evaluating my teams, and now I've targeted the teams that I could possibly acquire those first, I'm going to say 4 to 6 picks in the second that just kind of don't have that 201 vibe to them. Like the 201, 202, 203, 204, all those like still have like this late first kind of vibe to them where I feel like as soon as you get past that 205, 206, I feel like they're gettable. And if some of these running backs just fall where I hope they do, I have targeted the teams where now it's this late, I'll probably try to pull off in draft. And I think that's not, I wouldn't suggest that. I think this was a move that I should have pulled a month ago. So to your point, John, like, I think I'll be doing a revisionary strategy where I now know that maybe I should have been looking a little earlier. And to your point, not names, but picks. Right. Yeah. We were talking about that tiers. Like we were talking, like all I gave you was a range. I didn't give you names that I thought were going to be there. I just gave you a range, and I've identified that as, you know, on my running back needy teams. Like if I can get a 206, I think I could get, you know, a running back that starts in this league. So I guess I'm admitting to a strategy that maybe I should have had a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, but it's easy to do, right? I mean, I've been doing the same thing, like, and you know, I kind of look at my various roster builds, and I say, what does this roster need? But it, you know, and like I look at tiers. I do have some names in particular in later rounds that I want to try and target if they end up in the right situation. But yeah, there hasn't been enough movement towards getting into that position. I mean, part of it is, you know, Zach Reed always talks about being the sniper in the draft, you know, just pick your spot and get right to there, like in during the draft, whether it's trade back to exactly where you want to be and pick up some more draft capital or cash in that draft capital that you've traded for to move up a little bit to get exactly where you want to be. And like it feels like it's probably easier to do it in the draft, but like you were saying earlier, I mean, you're really kind of at the mercy of what are people willing to do.
Yeah.
Whereas right now you have a lot more freedom and a lot more flexibility. So kind of same thing. I mean, this was a stream of consciousness type of question and thought, because you know, I know where I want to be in the draft, so why am I not moving towards that, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big investment, though, to get to a 207. You can do that pretty easily.
Yeah.
I think the Dynasty community in general has been burned by the 2020 rookie running back draft class. But if you look back a few more years to 2017, we're still feeling the echoes of how amazing the running backs were. And they were up and down the draft board, first round, second round, even into the third round. How are you guys going to approach the next good running back class? Are you going to be all in on these guys at the elevated draft capital?
I mean, I will be. I love running backs. And if they do get to that point where, I mean, 2017, was that like Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook?
Kamara.
Yeah.
It goes on and on.
We don't even get to talk about Corey Davis, right? And that's a funny thing too, because so many times when you're talking about those drafts, I'll get back to the question, but you'll hear like, oh, you've got to take Treadwell, like wide receivers in Dynasty are gold. But you really look at that landscape, and when the good running backs hit, even some of the mid running backs hit, they maintain value at, I feel, a more secure rate than your mid-wide receivers. Like, and I'm not talking about, like, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, obviously. I'm talking about, like, the running backs. Like, so many running backs maintain value pretty decently. And, I mean, even look at Josh Jacobs, somebody that was kind of crapped on coming in, and how much he actually helped our dynasty teams while he was with the Raiders. Like, he outpaced Barkley a couple of years, like, whether it was because of injuries or not, and then Barkley coming back from injury. And a lot of those rookie running backs, like, when they're in a good spot, they help us a lot. And I think that the cheapest spot to get those running backs that are is in your rookie drafts before they hit. So I would absolutely attack those running backs in a draft. Not this year. I don't have that feeling this year, but But I'm absolutely all about like running backs. If it, I mean, before Superflex and like a lot of us started in one quarterbacks, I mean, I had the same mindset towards running backs as I do today about quarterbacks in a Superflex league. It's like running backs early and often, like just draft them all. And I'm even talking in a startup, like it's all you need, get everything else later. And it's, you're gonna two-peat. You're gonna win that league 2 years in a row. And everybody's like, man, you haven't even drafted a wide receiver yet. That's when you know you're going to win.
All right. So before we get out of here, so you guys gave me the first pick in your draft of best landing spots across all positions. I was kind of looking at the Chargers wide receiver group and then ultimately landed on Arizona wide receiver. Part of that being that's probably where Marvin Harrison goes,
right.
Catching passes from Kyler Murray. So that ended up being kind of my favorite spot. But you guys have heard a lot of answers since then. But more than that, you guys, you kind of got the scraps. So let's go all the way, but let's run it all the way back and give you guys 101 and tell me what's your 101 spot.
Can I get the low hanging fruit on this one? Because we kind of have to answer
take
this.
My pick though.
No, I don't think I will. I don't think you'll say it for this reason. Cause I think the reason I'm picking it is because this is what I think everyone is immediately going to do. Like I feel so confident that everyone else is going to feel this way, that it makes me just say, well, I have to feel this way too, because that is how the value is going to shift. And that's Dallas's running back. I don't care about Royce Freeman or anything like that. Dallas's running back is just got to be the 101. It's the safest pick. It's like picking a quarterback in Superflex, and he's the 101. Like I just can't imagine a better landing spot for a wide receiver or a running back, because you're not allowed to pick quarterbacks or even tight end. That is not going to just get an enormous value bump. You know, that some people are saying Jonathan Brooks, some people are saying Benson. I'm saying it does not matter. Back to John's earlier point, yeah. whatever, just fill in the blank. Doesn't matter whether you watch this profile 100 times. It, whoever that player is in that spot has to be the 101.
Yep. And if you went in the lotto and had him in Devy, yeah, like you just got a massive.
Yeah.
Value increase. What about you, Swags? Do you agree? And if you do agree, then what's 102?
I agree. That would have been my pick. Because I agree. I think it's low-hanging fruit, but that's exactly how I was thinking, Finero. I don't care about any of the guys on the Dallas Cowboys. man, that makes it tough.
Clearly. They don't. They're drafting one. They told everybody by signing Royce Freeman, we're drafting a running back. I mean, it's – and now it's maybe even earlier than I thought.
Or they're just turning this over to Rico Dowdle finally.
It's not happening.
Come on.
And this is probably unpopular. I'll go with unpopular and have everybody turn – yeah, nobody's going to like this. And everybody's going to be like, nah, but I'm going to say the Rams and a running back. I'm just not that sold on Kyren Williams, to be honest with you. And I think that they could easily replace him. I mean, it's a size thing. We didn't see him hit his rookie year, even when Cam Akers was having some issues. We didn't see it till year two. I think it was just he was in the right place at the right time. He's smaller than I like my running backs to be for the long run. I think that the Rams have a team that could utilize a better running back, to be honest with you, and somebody to pound the ball a little bit. I'm going to go Rams running back. But I just think that Kyren Williams could use a hefty compliment to the backfield and to just keep him healthy. And because I didn't want to say the Dolphins running back, but
yeah.
Dolphins probably running back. But I don't think the Dolphins are going to draft a running back in that Devin Achane area 2 years in a row. Otherwise, I would have said that. But
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I wouldn't think so.
The Chargers wide receiver spot. The Charger wide receiver spot has to be, has to be really juicy. I mean, just like, I know Swags is buying some Herbert right now, and it's can you imagine? I mean, there's a lot of quarterback talk up top, right? Like, if that actually happens with a couple trade ins, can you imagine if like Marvin Harrison or Neighbors winds up being Herbert's target number? Like, no one's even gonna, like, Keenan Allen, who?
Yeah. Seriously,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's going to be a nice bump for Herbert too, because people are sleeping on him a bit. His value's gone down a little lower than it should be, I think. And one wide receiver of that ilk, not saying it's gonna happen, but I mean, just to Hoag's Arizona strategy, right? It's like, well, if Marvin Harrison goes to Arizona, you know, like, I'm gonna win this, and he's right. I mean, there's a really good chance that, you know, he's gonna win that bet, but. But if that was not to happen for some reason, if they trade out because somebody needs to go up and get one of these quarterbacks and they just can't turn down it because they have other holes, that Charger wide receiver spot's got to be low-hanging fruit as well.
Yeah, that's a top-five pick for sure. I think part of the issue is, like, they're more likely to do it in the second round. I think they're looking at Joel.
I agree.
It just sounds like he just wants to build that offensive line and – never throw the ball if he can get away with it. But
yeah, I'm gonna try to avoid that. Like, I'm just not buying that. Like, I feel like there's especially in the last few days, there's a lot of talk about how they're just gonna run the shit out of the ball, and Herbert's just gonna become like a game manager. Does that even like add up in your head? No.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. Doesn't. Like, everybody wants to establish the run. This isn't Jim Harbaugh coming in it's and saying something massively groundbreaking.
Yeah.
This is every NFL team wants to do that. Every NFL offense wants to do this. But at the end of the day, like, whether or not you can run the ball, the fact of the matter is the way that you're going to win games in the NFL is letting Justin Herbert be one of the best quarterbacks on earth. So, I mean, I think that there's kind of, you know, what he thinks and what he tries to do in May, and then what he kind of succumbs to in October, November, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, man, we covered a lot of ground, and I feel like we've got plenty to talk about a little bit later in the non-point scoring season for you guys to come back, and we can talk not rookies and start talking just kind of names in general and strategy and you know, trades and startups and all kinds of stuff with you guys. So but Tommy, did we miss anything on rookies? This is kind of our chance, because I have a feeling these guys, once the series is done, they're kind of done with rookies for a while.
No, I really appreciate it. This is like such a busy time for y'all. You know, you're the Rookie Fever podcast, and we're talking to you the week before the rookie NFL draft. So I've just got nothing but gratitude for both of you making the time to talk with us today. I certainly learned a lot, and I love just catching up with you. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, I appreciate you, man.
Thanks a ton for having us. This has been a good time. I love when we can jump on with friends and chat. Tommy, it's nice to meet you for the first time. John, always a good time. And and Swags, I love when we can jump on another show together. You always back up my
edit this.
You back up my emotional stuff with some real strategy points. So it kind of almost makes me feel smart. So I love that that we were able to jump on together.
It's just a feeling, Finero.
So when the series is done, what's next for Rookie Fever?
Well, I want to dig in. I want to start talking about these rookies with the colors
full board
that they're wearing. Yeah, I think it'll sound like kids again. You know, it'll be fresh for our audience, because we haven't said a word about how we feel about any of these players. But it's going to start with landing spots. It has to. Every year it starts, and you and everyone on earth is going to be talking about it at the same time. Don't get me wrong. But we're going to be talking about it a little different, because we're going to be talking about it almost like it's for the first time. And I'm really excited about that. I am. I can't, it's unavoidable. We're excited, too.
We'll talk a lot about rookies, though. And we'll talk about, I think, the one thing that is about to happen in our community, not to poo-poo on it again, but everybody's going to be telling you that first round what to do. And something Fenario and I do try to do as well, though, is like, what are we going to do when we get to the second and third round? Like, if you still do have those picks, like, who are the players you feel like are going to be Puka? Fenario, I know you mentioned Puka last year in some of those shows when we were talking about the third and fourth round and what to do in those areas. Is we'll probably start with some of those later rounds a little bit, because the rest of it ends up being a little bit chalk. And but I can tell you, I'm so arrogant in the fact, and I think that, you know what, I think this goes for anybody that's doing this at the level that we're doing it, and even a lot of our listeners, but I'm just the one that is, I'll say I'm a little bit arrogant about this, but I feel like most of us can get caught up in a week or two with all the work that the podcasts like us have been putting in the last 3 to 5 months. I feel like I can get pretty caught up in a week's time and feel pretty confident going into my rookie drafts and hopefully be able to sell that on the mic and make other people feel confident as well.
Nice. Rookie Fever Podcast, always ahead of the curve. He's Swags at Swagzilla 0G, and Mike the Feverish Fenario is at Aardvark TV. So thank you guys for coming on. Always a good time catching up with my friends here. So with our friends, our a couple of our super friends, man, just like long time counterparts that I always enjoy getting to talk to. So let's wrap this one up for the week. And as we do that, ask you for a quick favor. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can also subscribe to the DLF Family of Podcasts Mega Feed. Get access to all the great podcasts from DynastyLeagueFootball.com. Once you subscribe to the Super Show, if you do us a huge favor, rate and review. Helps us to involve more people in the conversation. From there, we can really drill down to the topics that are the most useful to you, our super friends. You can get at us on Twitter. Tommy and I even have check marks now, so might as well use them. We're paying.
You guys are verified.
Yeah, we're paying to talk to you. So talk to us.
We got buried. It's time to reach more super friends. And if we have to pay the $11 or whatever it is, that's what we want to do. We want to talk strategy with the super friends. And Elon Musk, you won, man.
Yeah. I also have an ulterior motive here, which is just to prove that Elon is a creepy freaking weirdo who just has completely ruined this entire thing. But until then, let's talk fantasy. So you can get at us on Twitter. He's at FFTommyB. I'm at SuperflexDude. And again, Swagzilla0G and at AardvarkTV. So yeah, get at us on Twitter. This episode was dedicated in loving memory to James Brancatoulis. Thank you to DynastyLeagueFootball.com for the platform. Thank you to Heart and Soul Radio for the music. Thank you to our guests from Rookie Fever for coming on. And above all else, thank you for listening. And until next week, stay sexy and super flexy.